So let's talk about social justice and harassment. Now, I'm not talking about Quinn, Wu, or Sarkeesian saying that they've been harassed by people online. I'm sure they have. And I'm sure they have because it happens to everybody. And I'm getting really rather tired of the social justice community claiming that they are the ones exclusively on the end of harassment and never doling it out. Just take this for example.
Is she brave? Of course she's brave. All those years invested as this sports legend, to come out transgender is horribly difficult. It is the most difficult thing you can do. I've been overseas. I've flown helicopter missions, surveillance missions. I've been shot, stabbed. Being brave is being yourself. And being transgender is about the bravest thing you can do. Does she deserve the award? Yes.
Why are we mainstreaming delusion?
It's not delusion.
Why would you call it delusion?
Because Bruce Caitlyn Jenner, I'll call him Caitlyn Jenner.
No, it's her. You're not being polite to the pronoun.
Because
disrespect.
Okay, forget about the disrespect. Facts don't care about your feelings. It turns out that every chromosome, every cell in Caitlyn Jenner's body is male, with the exception of some of his sperm cells. It turns out that his brain structure is male. Turns out that he still has all of his male appendages. But how he feels on the inside is irrelevant to the question of his biological status.
I don't agree with that. I'm not on that train. She wants to be called she. I'm going to call her she. I just have a problem with the message and the messenger.
I'm going to do two things. I want to reiterate what Zoe said, which is the bifurcation of the courage to come forward after a lifetime as a male and a certain kind of a male versus did she deserve this award? Listen, awards, what are award ceremonies except the opportunity to catch some eyes?
Especially the ESPN.
ESPN, well done, ABC. Yeah. They did exactly what their job was, attract eyes. They did it. That's what award ceremonies are for. But in terms of the science behind gender dysphoria, you're very familiar with that, Zoe.
Very familiar.
It's not about the chromosomes within our nuclei.
We both know chromosomes don't necessarily mean you're male or female.
Gender.
With gender,
gender identity. Go ahead.
But even so, you have a thing like Klinefelter's syndrome. So you don't know what you're talking about. You're not educated on genetics.
Would you like to discuss the genetics?
What are
your genetics?
So let's stay away from the genetics and back to the brain scans.
You cut that out now, or you'll go home in an ambulance.
Yeah, that seems mildly inappropriate for a political discussion.
Personally, I think it's strange that Zoe didn't realize that ambulances take people to hospitals. But yes, threats of physical violence are inappropriate in political discussions. But not only that, look at the physical dynamics here. Frankly, Zoe Tur is a lot more butch than Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro is rather effete. So Zoe Tur looks immediately like a bully, despite the fact that it's a transgender woman and Ben Shapiro is frankly being a dick. He is deliberately provoking this reaction. She is still the bully. She is the one being physically domineering and using physical threats to try and silence her opposition. As you can imagine, Zoe Tur faced some criticism on Twitter after this show. And so in response to this criticism, she decided to dox her critic. And anyone who has had any kind of dealing with the social justice community can tell you that this is not an unusual event. And I say this from the position of someone who has been doxxed and harassed and death threatened. So I'm not speaking from beyond my own experience. There are prominent members of the social justice community that are completely in favour of doxxing if they feel it to be morally justified. This is Adam Sessler's opinion from 2013, and I don't think that it's changed since.
Hate speech and online gaming.
Ooh.
The saucy topic. Don't do it. Would be a nice start.
Yeah, really. It's... I don't know. I'm assuming no one would attest to being one of those guys who are in this room right now, but there seem to be a lot of them. Maybe a lot of them are in junior high school. I don't know. If you know someone who does this, could you stop playing with them? Could you call them a douche? It really does ruin the experience. When I hear, clearly a young person using racial epithets or derogatory terms for homosexuals, it's just... It just makes my stomach churn. And the idea that we are supposed to be a culture of people who at one point, if not now, felt already on the margins of a greater society, and then you just see this behavior that just replicates the same thing with a different target, it really kind of makes the whole affair seem a little bit deflated and defeated. It really, and don't even give me that First Amendment nonsense. You have every right to say it, and I have every right to call you a fucking asshole and try to find your address and put it out there.
So Adam was very clear that he thinks that if he's offended by someone's actions, he has every right to find their personal details and distribute it so they can receive offline harassment. This is doxing, and this is exactly what happened to Quinn Woon Sarkeesian, and so you would think that he would oppose it in principle. But that is in fact entirely the problem. The social justice community has a habit of thinking that it's one rule for them and another rule for everyone else. Zoe Quinn will complain about being doxxed, and then she will spread the dox of Mike Cernovich, which she helped to edit together with Margaret Pless. On Gamer Gaza, you will have them literally lying about me, saying that I am intentionally behind harassment. I mean, take one of their number, for example, here, Sarah Nyberg, who literally goes around to people that I am having conversations with and claims that I have targeted them for opposing Gamergate as part of a severe and prolonged harassment campaign, as in life ruination levels. And this is despite the fact that Sarah herself is the harasser. I have had Sarah Nyberg blocked for months, and yet I consistently feature on her Twitter feed. But then this sort of harassment is what I would expect from a self-confessed paedophile. Sarah Nyberg has long gone under the alias of Retrograde Snowcone. And like most people, she used this alias as a sort of online identity, so no matter what website she was signing up for, people would know it was her. Sarah has publicly claimed that yes, she is a paedophile, and no, she doesn't think there's anything wrong with that. No, I don't. I wouldn't ever have sex with children. No, I don't look at child porn. And these chat logs show her talking about lesbian paedophile websites and making her miss her LGF, which is little girlfriend. And in case you're wondering, she's attracted to usually about 6 to 12. She has been attracted to as low as 4, but that's atypical. And she'd never act on it. You know, and hey, I don't know whether these are her attractions. It's just what she says online. And, you know, I wouldn't even care. I'm just not interested. But when a paedophile harasser claims that I am harassing her, I have to draw the fucking line. And it's like Sarah Nyberg just simply can't stop lying. Here she is accusing Ethan Ralph of the Ralph Retort of doxing people. This isn't what her evidence shows, but it's not going to stop her from claiming it anyway. Ralph, of course, has been doxed because you just can't get into some kind of online controversy without being doxed. And he was doxed on an anonymous message board, so at least it's in doubt as to whether it's a social justice warrior, unlike all these other times when we know that it's a social justice warrior. I can only imagine that Sarah Nyberg is talking about the court dox that Ralph reported on when discussing how Zoe Quinn managed to gag Aaron Journey, the man that she had abused, from being able to say his side of the story. And this is despite the fact that we know that Zoe Quinn enjoyed, quote, hell dumps, which is something that happened on the Something Awful forums, where essentially what they would do is find all of a user's information and post it in one area so they could be harassed by the community. The grand irony of all of this, of course, is that Zoe Quinn has been playing the victim and now has set up what she calls an anti-harassment task force called Crash Override, which is apparently making the internet safer. Well, I mean, I suppose you'd know exactly what harassers do to make the internet unsafe, Zoe, since you've taken part in it so often. While we're on the subject, let's take a look at everyone's favourite professional anti-harassment activist, Randy Harper. Like Zoe Quinn with Crash Override, she's founded her own little online abuse prevention initiative organisation, which frankly seems to be a cover for her incredibly vile behaviour. So vile, in fact, Breitbart could do a 3-article expose on just her and her history of abusing people on the internet. And this, frankly, seems to be wherever you find a social justice community. Recently, there was a meltdown in the social justice community on YouTube because people from within the community had been sexually harassing female members of it.
This is an issue that happens, and I want them to be aware that it can be just as confusing and upsetting and gross as, you know, someone sexually harassing you in real life. And it's especially harmful because a lot of the people who are, you know, doing this to me and to my friends are people that are in the feminist community. I can honestly say there are about 2-3 maybe male YouTubers that I genuinely feel safe talking to.
And that's people who are within the community who want to be an active part of that community. It says nothing about, say, an apostate. Ian Miles Chung is the editor-in-chief of GameRanks, and he has been a prominent figure in the social justice community in the gaming industry. That is, until recently, until Chung had a change of heart and decided, in fact, that the community that he was operating within was rather unpleasant. On the 26th of May, Ian wrote a blog post called What Games Mean to Me, in which he apologises for the way that he's treated gamers throughout the course of Gamergate. But not only that, he had the spine to go directly on Twitter to people he had, in his own words, harassed, and apologise for it, which I personally thought was a very mature thing to do. And so I personally, as a gamer who supports Gamergate, accepted his apology, and I know that many other people did as well. This is a composite of some of the tweets that Ian received for doing this, for the crime, the high treasonous crime, of apologising to someone that he had wronged. Needless to say, this is hardly what you'd expect from a mature and healthy community that wants a mature conversation about video games. This is what you'd expect from a hate mob. As he says here, here's a small sample of what I've had to deal with since I started to voice my opinions. Guess now I know what the warrior part in SJW means, though I'm not sure it's the right character class. And who is he apologising to? Well, a man called John Bain, known on the internet as Total Biscuit, a man with 2 million subscribers on YouTube who does Let's Plays and reviews and critiques of games, and who has spoken up in the past for the need for ethical standards in the video game industry. And this is what has happened to him.
I think I've had just about enough of this. I've been dealing with this for about a year. Now, if you want to talk about serial harassment, you can talk about the sort of thing that I received when I had the audacity to do the thing that a charity streamer was requesting. Share their charity stream, make people available. They requested specifically retweets. And I happened to see it through a mutual acquaintance of mine, and I retweeted it, and instantly this person threw a wobbly, claimed that I was aiming to destroy the stream, and over the course of a couple of hours, while I was at the chemotherapy center, by the way, being poisoned in order to keep me alive, I had over 300 people send me tweets, many of which requested that I die, many of which hoped that the cancer would get me quicker. That's what harassment feels like, by the way. If you wish to know what harassment really feels like, put yourself in a chair in a clinic with an IV pump plugged in to the flesh just above your shoulder where they've implanted an artificial port, a port-a-cath. Do that. Be hopped up on all manner of horrible medication that has life-changing side effects. And read that stuff coming your way after you did what you thought was a good deed. Read that stuff coming from people that claim to be all about social justice, that claim to be all about equality and the elevation of humankind. Read that from people that claim to have moral character. And then, of course, for the next year, read day after day after day after day how you are a terrible subhuman piece of trash. Read that every day from God knows how many people. Have your life threatened repeatedly. Have your wife's life threatened. Have your child's life threatened. Do that. Then come back to me and say with a straight face that I am a serial harasser. this is the straw that breaks the camel's back, honestly. It really is. Like, I've dealt with this for over a year. I'm in therapy for this stuff. Like, it's that bad. And then you have someone like you come out and dare to spread lies. I mean, for instance, he was among the first mainstream people to share the Five Guys video. I never linked that video. I don't believe I ever even mentioned that video. I certainly never used the term Five Guys. Hell, I've only ever used the Gamergate tag twice, and it was never to communicate with anybody. It was in context. You know, I remember when that video first went out. I remember when the first thing came out about that. And you know what I did? I tweeted out this fairly lengthy thing that told everyone, look, you know, this is ridiculous. You've got to calm down. I didn't focus on Zoe Quinn. I had no interest in Zoe Quinn. Zoe Quinn is an indie dev. Like, she hasn't made anything super important. She hasn't made anything that's, you know, broken records or anything. She's not one of the majors, is what I'm saying. Like, she's not the developer of Braid or anything along those lines. The only time I'd ever heard of her previous was her involvement in a game jam that went famously wrong with Polaris, which is the network that I'm a part of. And I read all of these accusations, and I put out a statement. And my statement was very balanced. My statement called for calm. My statement was as neutral as it possibly could be. And you know what happened after that? I had people telling me to kill myself from saying that, calling me a misogynist, calling me a bigot. After I'd barely mentioned this woman's name, you know, I wanted to talk about journalistic ethics because I've been so interested in that for a very long time when it comes to gaming. I mean, the games industry has an ethics problem. It's had an ethics problem for a very, very long time.
But instead of being able to focus on the ethics problem that the video game industry has, Total Biscuit, John Bain, has been harassed into therapy by the social justice community. And he is, of course, not the only one. Take, for example, Lizzie F620, who was a very staunch Gamergate defender until she was doxxed and had her family threatened. Her fucking children threatened. Of all things. I mean, and this is for supporting Gamergate. This is supporting a hashtag movement that is primarily concerned with ethics and games journalism. What kind of people would do that? Well, the sort of people, apparently, who would see a website called gamersgate.com and assume it was affiliated with the hashtag Gamergate. The harassment and threats this website received were so great that they had to go to Polygon to make a statement to say, listen, we are actually not affiliated with Gamergate. Please stop harassing us. At the Gamergate meetup in Washington, D.C., someone called in a phony bomb threat to force them to evacuate the meetup. There's a link in the description of this video to a blog called Gamergate's Harassment. And as it says, showing the often overlooked other side of this argument. If you have any evidence of SJWs attacking you for your opinion, then let me know. If you want anonymity, explicitly tell me. Your post may be rejected if it's too low quality or doesn't fit the subject at hand, but that's probably not going to happen. Because there are thousands of examples on this blog of people being harassed by the social justice community. These people are a problem. They form dysfunctional, unhealthy communities that spend their time either attacking others or attacking their own members. They are responsible for slanderous lies, constant harassment, doxing, threats, and because they are the most brazen hypocrites imaginable, they will claim that it's everyone else doing it to them. I recently had a private conversation with the editor-in-chief of a very large video game website. I have to maintain their anonymity because they are afraid for their career and the safety of themselves and their family if they were to speak out on this issue. As far as they are concerned, all the harassment they see these days is coming almost entirely from the social justice community, which is why they had reached out to me to have a conversation on the issue. Because behind closed doors, everyone can see where the problem is. Oh, and one last thing. The guy who got doxxed by the social justice warrior for simply disagreeing with their position? Well, Twitter doesn't care. If your information can be found on Google, then it's fine to post it on Twitter. And so despite the obvious attempt to bully and harass someone and intimidate them into being silent, Twitter is going to take no action at all.